So we continue in the story of Nehemiah rebuilding, and today we want to look at Nehemiah interceding and Nehemiah investigating. And I want us to see that these two things are necessary for us as followers of Jesus Christ, interceding and investigating. We left Nehemiah last week with a burning vision. Not only a vision of what could be, but a vision of what should be with regard to Jerusalem. Its walls and gates fallen, broken down. He wanted to see it restored and rebuilt. The holy city, the special city of Jerusalem, being complete again and displaying the glory of God. But he had many problems. Nehemiah was 1,000 miles away in Persia. Nehemiah was not a priest, he wasn't a prophet, he didn't have any kind of influence over the Israelite nation. He was cupbearer to the king, King Artaxerxes. Now that was, in a sense, an important job and a significant job, but it was also an issue, it was a problem, because the cupbearer to the king was the one who tasted the wine to make sure it didn't have poison in it. So it was a significant job, and King Artaxerxes was not going to let Nehemiah go easily. There weren't too many people applying for this job. So what did he do? Well, the first thing we want to see here this morning is that Nehemiah interceded. He prayed and prayed and prayed. He didn't pray a one-off prayer. He prayed continuously. In fact, in the text, we're told that he started praying in the month of Kislev, which is our November, December. And the prayer was answered eventually in Nisan, which is the month of March, April, about 100 days. He prayed, he fasted, he persisted and persevered in prayer. The Apostle Paul says, pray continuously, and that's what Nehemiah did. When faced with great problems, he prayed. He prayed because he cared deeply about the situation. He cared about the glory of God. It was a reproach to the people. It was a disgrace. God was not getting the glory. And it got to him. He prayed also because there were many huge obstacles in the way. And although last week we said that there are no overt miracles in the book of Nehemiah, I'm sure as Nehemiah looked at the situation, he thought to himself, I need a miracle. There's so many God-sized obstacles here that I need to get God to move. He was praying for opportunities. He was praying for doors to open. Andy Stanley says in his commentary on Nehemiah, our tendency is to pray for miracles, but in most situations, it is most important and more important to pray for opportunities. And that's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was in a good relationship with the Lord. He was a man of prayer. Prayer was not strange to him. And as followers of Jesus, we shouldn't be strangers to prayer. Sometimes, sadly, when we're under pressure, prayer is the first thing to go. But it shouldn't be. It's so vital for our well-being. Maybe like Nehemiah, when a crisis comes, we turn to prayer and we pray harder and longer. But is it coming out of a prayerful heart, a foundation of prayer? The Jews used to have the habit of prayer at least 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. We may not do that, but it's a good habit. It's good to set aside a portion of the day to get into tune with God, to get on his wavelength. The more we pray with him, the more we converse with him, the more his Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts and upon our minds. And we discover the nudgings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Jim Packer, speaking about how God guides us, talks about the pneumatic factor, that God guides us through the desires of the spiritually renewed heart, plus the particular nudges that the Holy Spirit gives. Are we open to the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 and 25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? You do that through reading his word and through prayer. It's in a sense as simple as that. Just keep reading his word and inviting him to come into your life and to guide you and to direct you. Be open to the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. This is what Nehemiah was doing over 100 days. He interceded. He prayed. He waited. He didn't rush in to the king's presence, much as he would have liked to. He held back until the opportunity came. And Nehemiah found three things, I think, as he did this. And I think we will find three things also if we pray more. First of all, prayer clarifies the vision. Some of you, maybe like me, have been following the Scripture Union daily readings, Encounter with God. And through this last week, they've been in the Gospel of Mark. And it came to that fascinating little healing where Jesus meets a man who's blind. He touches his eyes and he says, "Can you see?" And the man says, "Men seem to be like trees walking." And so Jesus touches his eyes again, and then his sight is perfectly restored. This is the only example, as far as I know, in the Gospels, where Jesus has a second go at healing someone. Normally it just happens instantaneously. And the commentary in the Bible reading notes was suggesting a reason for this, and I think it's a fascinating reason. It could well be right. Just immediately before this episode, the disciples are showing that they're very slow on the take-up. They've seen the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. They still are not showing much faith. They're not seeing clearly. And Mark, in his gospel, is making a spiritual point. He's using this as a visual aid. Jesus is saying to the disciples, "You need more of my touch in your life, that you will see more clearly." When we pray, we're saying to Jesus, "I need more of your touch. I need to see things as you see things. I need to see with more faith." Prayer clarifies. The second thing that prayer does is it moves God right into the center of the situation. It's less about us. It's less about our circumstances. We're saying, "God, you come into the center of this." So many people in our world have no consideration of God. He's on the margins. He's irrelevant. But whenever we pray, it's saying, "God, you come into the center. You help me with this. You give me your strength. You give me your insight." We sometimes sing that song, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." And as Nehemiah waited on the Lord's strength began to renew him. So prayer clarifies, prayer strengthens, and the third thing that prayer does is that it calms us. It calms our anxieties. And we recognize as we pray that God is the one in control. And he is working out his plans and purposes, even though we don't like it and the things that are happening. But he is working out his plans and his purposes. Nothing takes God by surprise. There's a lot about this current crisis that can make us anxious. But as we pray more, as we recognize that God is in control, he calms us. He speaks peace into the situation. And I'm a strong believer that as we continue to work through this COVID crisis, that we who are Christians, we who are followers of Jesus, should be the calmest in the room. The calmness, the peace of Christ should be in our hearts. Our God is in control. Let's not be fearful, but full of faith. And this was Nehemiah. This is what was happening to him. 100 days of prayer, he finds his vision is clarified. The strength of God fills him. Yes, he's still a bit nervous as he comes to the king. But God is in control. And so whenever the king actually asks him, the door opens. Verse 4, "I prayed to the God of heaven," another little quick prayer to God, and it spills out of him the sadness of his heart, what he wants to achieve. Verse 8, "Because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted me my requests." Praying time is never wasted time. Let me say that again. Praying time is never wasted time. And so as he has prayed over these 100 days, the plans were beginning to take shape. So when the king says to him, "What do you want, Nehemiah?" Nehemiah thinks to himself, this opportunity might not come again. And so he gives him the shopping list. "I need letters of authority to get me through all the borders. I need wood to build the gates and my residence." He gives these things, this shopping list, and immediately the king says yes. Nehemiah intercedes. He prays. And so should we. And then secondly, from verse 11 onwards, we see that Nehemiah investigates. When he arrives in Jerusalem, he doesn't blarge ahead. He takes his time. He wants to see what the situation is on the ground. So he takes a few trusted men. He wants to get a true understanding of the situation. He says in verse 12, "I had not told anyone what my God had put on my heart." He wants to assess the reality of the ground, and that's what a good leader does. He had heard the news, but he wanted to see for himself. So by night, under darkness, he travels around the walls to see where the gaps were, to note what gates were still standing and which were burned down. And it made his heart heavy as he saw the defenses down. It did not glorify God. Nehemiah came into this as a man who had spent time in prayer. He had seen things spiritually with his spiritual eyes, and now he was seeing things with his physical eyes. And a day or two later, in verse 17, he comes to the people and he says, "You see the trouble we're in?" They had lived with it, they had lived in it, but they hadn't seen the trouble. In this period of lockdown, as we emerge from it in fits and starts, it is an interesting and a challenging time. But perhaps it has been and will be a period for us as individuals and as churches to intercede and to investigate the state of our hearts. I've said that through this series, we're looking at the physical walls of Jerusalem and the physical gates, but I want us to look at our spiritual walls and our spiritual gates. We've got an eye gate, we've got an ear gate, we've got a mouth gate. And the things that come in and out of our ears and our eyes and our mouths impact our hearts. The heart is the wellspring of life. And our heart is impacted by our eyes, our ears, our mouths. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. How secure are your spiritual gates? What are you feeding yourself on? What are you watching? What are you hearing? How Christ-honoring are the gates of your life? This week, will praise come out of your lips or criticism? Is what comes out of your mouth helpful for building others up, or will it tear them down? Will it honor people and respect people, or will you gossip about people? How are your gates? Nehemiah says, "Do you see the trouble we're in?" Jerusalem was a disgrace, a shame. It was an embarrassment. It was a reproach to God's people. And we can get used to that. We can get used to the state of the church not being good and strong and healthy. We can become apathetic and lazy. You forget what could be and what should be, and indeed even what used to be. So Nehemiah issues a wake-up call. Open your eyes to see what's around you. He brought fresh eyes to the situation under the influence of God's Spirit. As we finish today, you know, this is a very testing time for the church. It will be interesting to see what emerges out of COVID. Will we become more apathetic to the things of God or more on fire for the things of God? Will we hunger to meet with God's people? Will we sharpen our skills for service, or will they lie unused and blunted by the passage of time? It's going to be a testing time. And maybe out of this will emerge a smaller church, but a refined church, a stronger church, better in worship and fellowship, discipleship, and witness. But for now, we see a period of intercession, and investigation. May the Lord use this time to speak to my heart and to speak to your heart, to show where the gates are broken down. As elders, as leaders, as staff, as members of the congregation, Lord, give us prayerful eyes. You know, during this time, we're wearing masks. Usually we're going into shops wearing masks, in church you're wearing masks, and the focus is more on the eyes, what you see. Lord, help us to see what you see, to hear what you hear, to speak your word of glory. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, as we ask your word by your Spirit to speak into our lives, where are the gates broken down? What needs fixed? What sin needs confessed? What do we need to repent of? Lord, open our eyes that we may see. Nehemiah says, you see the trouble we're in? Help us to see that individually. Help us to see it corporately as a church. And through your Spirit's help, to fix it and to rise renewed and strengthened, rebuilding with you getting the glory. In the letter of Ephesians, it says, for you were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord, so live as children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Come, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.